Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. This is a very familiar story, but the thing about God's Word is it's the living Word. His voice, if He speaks to us, it's always something new and fresh. And that's the Gospel of Good News. Five short verses, and I thought these are like the five smooth stones in David's bag, any one of which can slay the giants of unbelief, ignorance, care, trouble, bitterness, self-pity, pride. And one way that we know, one of many ways we know this is God's Word, is every line, every phrase is significant. Verse 38 is where we begin. Now it came to pass as they went. Now stop right there. Where are they going? In Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, the Lord said, well, let me read it to you. It says this. He took the 12 with him. He took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem. As they went, where are they going? Where is Christ going? To Jerusalem. From the time he was born, his whole life was headed toward Jerusalem, where he would go outside of Jerusalem on Golgotha's hill and be lifted up on Calvary's tree, be made sin, a curse, crucified. For this cause, Christ said, I came. And they went with him. They went with him. He chose them. First of all, remember when he took them up on the mountain to show them his glory? And he kept telling them, we're going to Jerusalem, where I'm going to be crucified, buried, and I'm going to rise again. That's where we're going. You're going with me. And I'm going to do this work for you. We're not going to do it together. Christ did it alone, didn't he? By himself, purged our sin. But they went with him. They were always with him. You see, one little phrase, as they went. Where are they going? Where are we going? We're his disciples, aren't we? We're chosen by him. We've seen something of his glory. We've heard his voice. We're with him. He's with us. They were always with him. He was always with them. Where are we going? Well, he first takes us to Calvary. Doesn't he? Well, he takes us up on the mountain, Mount Zion, to see his glory, and then we're going to Calvary, where we're going to be crucified with him. Then we're going to the grave, and going to be buried with him. And you know where else we're going after that? All the way to glory. All the way to glory. As they went. And on the way to Jerusalem, he was finding his lost sheep here and there and everywhere and saving them on the way. That's why, as they went. Isn't that what a sermon that is, three words, as they went. They went with him. So, they went toward Jerusalem. Verse 38, he entered into a certain village. Don't you love the word certain in the Scripture? A certain village chosen by him. He had predestined to go into this village before the world began. Before this village was a village. He purposed it, put some people there. He was going to hear his voice, and he's going to go visit with them. He's going to go dwell with them. Three people, Martha, Mary, and their brother Lazarus. And our Lord went there often. He loved to go there, and he would stay with them and eat with them. How blessed was this little town. Bethany was about the size of Boone's Mill. The Lord passed by Jericho. Big city, 100,000 people there. Passed by this place and that place. He went to Bethany. Little old village, little old nothing, no place. Oh, what a blessed village that was. This little village of Rocky Mount. How blessed. Certain, look at verse 38. As he entered into a certain village, a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. A certain woman received him into her house. Oh, how blessed are those who are chosen, called, hear His voice, hear His word, believe on Him. John 1:12 says, as many as received Him. As many as received Him. He gave them the right, the privilege, the blessed privilege of being a child of God, a son of God, which were born. Not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of man, but of God, born of God. These were His chosen disciples. And Martha received Him into her home. She literally received Him for supper. She received Him for supper. Now, before we go any further, where did Martha get this home? From Him. So it really wasn't her home. It was His home, just like ours are. It's on loan. She's just borrowing it. So what are we to do with this loan from the Lord? Use it on His people. Our Lord said, as much as you've done whatever unto the least of my brethren, you've done it to me. You've done it to me. Now, when she received Him, she had to receive all of His apostles. When she asked Him to come to dinner, there were at least 12 men with Him. And there's some ladies probably. And whoever. One time, He was in the house, and there were not enough room in the house, and people were outside the house, and some fellas on top of the roof trying to get in, tearing the roof off. Oh, but the Lord blessed that house, didn't He? You reckon He gave them a new roof? He gave them the house, gave them the roof over their head. How blessed is the house. Remember the story of Obed-Edom that David brought the ark, was bringing the ark back to Jerusalem. And remember the story of Uzzah touched the ark. And so a man named Obed of Edom said, can I have the ark? Could you bring it to my house? I'll keep it as long as necessary. I'll take care of it. I'll watch over. And so they did. And it says, the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom for about 8 or 10 months. Blessed them greatly. His wife, his children, his relatives, his neighbors, whoever came. Oh, how blessed is this house. In our houses, homes where the Lord dwells. Now, verse 38. There's a woman named Martha. Received Him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at the Lord's feet, Jesus' feet, and heard His word. Martha and Mary, and had a brother named Lazarus. My, my. Martha and Mary were believers, and we were certain that Lazarus was. The Lord raised him from the dead. Two sisters and a brother, all of them believers, in one house. That's rare. Isn't it rare? It's rare, really, for a husband and wife both to be believers. The Lord saves whom He will. He chooses whom He will. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Neither are worthy. Neither deserve it. But God, rich in mercy, chose whom He would. And it's great mercy to that person. And He bypassed the other. That's His will, isn't it? And Esau didn't want anything to do with the Lord, so he's getting what he deserved. But for God to save a man and his wife, what a blessing. And his children? Oh, my. A brother, a sister, two brethren. I have a brother. We have nothing, Stephen. You have everything in common with your brother, don't you? You both know the Lord. Your sister. Right there's Lazarus. What a blessing, isn't it? Oh, such a blessing. Two sisters and a brother. Loved, redeemed by Christ. It's the greatest blessing on earth. He that blesseth himself in the earth blesses himself in the Lord of truth, or the Lord who blesses him. Now, our Lord was always preaching and teaching. Always. Never an idle word, never an idle moment, never an idle step. He was always in in the direction of saving his lost sheep. And wherever he went, as he was going, he was speaking and teaching. When he sat down, he was speaking and teaching. When he was eating supper, between bites, he was preaching and teaching. He is the Word, he said. He is the Word. If he wasn't speaking, his actions were speaking very loudly when preaching a sermon. So, verse 39, Mary sat at his feet and heard his word. Now, she heard that the Lord was coming. And Mary thought, well, can you imagine? The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. Martha said, Mary, the Lord is coming in our home today to eat supper. Really? She thought, oh, I can't wait till he gets here. Oh, when he gets here, I'm just going to sit there. I'm going to cast everything and everyone aside, and I'm just going to sit and wait on the Lord. Wait on a word from the Lord. Oh, I can't wait till he gets here. I need to hear from him. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty for his word. I'm poor. I need it. I'm sinful. I need to hear from him. So I'm just going to... I bet she's probably sitting there in front of that chair he sat before we got there. Reckon? But Martha. Verse 40. Martha was cumbered. The word cumbered means to be dragged down. It means to be distracted. Cumbered as something that would impede you. You can't. Cumbered with much serving. Verse 40. Cumbered with much serving. Now, remember my pastor, oh, he preached from this so many times, didn't he? And he corrected all of us who self-righteous people who came down on Martha. Martha should have been, hold on a minute. Yeah, she should have been sitting there, but she was serving. And what did the Lord say about serving? He was a servant. He came to serve. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He said, the greatest among you is a servant. But it was an encumbrance to her. She was bogged down with it. She was dragged down with it. She was serving. Thank the Lord for those who serve, those who feed, clean, serve. But these things are never to take the place of sitting at our Lord's feet, of worshiping our Lord. Nothing, no one we're going to see should take the place of coming to be and hear, be with and hear our Lord. He deserves our worship and our praise. And we need to hear from Him. We're going to see what happens to us if we don't sit and hear His word. We're going to see what a bad state we can get into, like Martha. All right? So, but she was careful, it says. He said, you're careful and troubled. Her mind, her heart was full of care. About what? Food. Eating and drinking. About supper. Can't that wait? Can we not miss one meal? One time the Lord said in His Sermon on the Mount, He said, the Gentiles, all they think about is eating and drinking. He talked about the Jews. They said, the Jews, that's what they did. They sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. He said, your life consists more than food and raiment and this and that and the other, but it's righteousness and peace and joy and the Holy Ghost. It's not meat and drink. That's not what life's all about. Life is Christ. To know God, know Him. And how we know Him, right here, what we're doing. And her mind, her heart was full of care about supper, about food, about the table, about the guests. So much so, she was troubled. She was worried. She was troubled. How am I going to do this? Now, you ladies, if you've ever entertained guests, and I have too, you know what it's like. If you have several guests, I don't know if I can do this. How? I don't know. Have we got enough dishes? Have we got enough food? Oh, I didn't buy. Mindy, don't
you know, don't eat too many potatoes. I don't have many potatoes. You wait till they eat the potatoes before you get the potatoes. And buddy, that's a sacrifice. I love potatoes. But, you know, we got enough food, got enough potatoes. She's full of worry about potatoes. We don't need potatoes. We need this bread of life, though. Now, this is understandable. It's understandable. This is flesh. She's a servant. She's trying to serve everybody. It's understandable. It's forgivable. It's forgivable. I don't know if I can do this, if I got enough. She was concerned about her gift, which is forgivable. But it's not excusable. It's inexcusable. Because our Lord said there's one thing needful. Everything else can and must wait. It must wait. We dishonor our Lord if we put things before Him. If we give more care and concern to things than our Lord, He calls that idolatry. But it's dishonoring if we think more about things. Oh, how dishonoring we are to our Lord, all of us, because we're guilty. But now, the Lord is sitting in Martha's living room speaking. The Lord who gave her this house, who gave her the table she's about to serve on, gave her the food, the means to buy it, saved her soul. He'd saved her soul. She should have been sitting there with Mary, shouldn't she? Most definitely. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. Our Lord does not give any excuse, does it? Nothing and no one can or should take the place of this right here. We don't order our don't order worship around our lives. We should order our lives around worship. Christ is our life. We serve Him. We serve His glory. This is what we're doing right now. We're coming here and offering the sacrifice of our lives. Praise and thanksgiving. Our Lord well deserves the first fruits, doesn't it? The best. Our undivided attention, our whole heart's love, our mind, our thoughts, our gift, doesn't it? He deserves it. He gave it all to Him. Now here's the first lesson. There are legitimate concerns, there are legitimate cares and legitimate needs in the home and so forth, but nothing, 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 nothing should take the place of worshiping our Lord. He said the first fruit is we're to drop everything to attend unto His word. If not, we're going to get in a bad way. We used to have pretty big Bible conferences. At 13th Street, we had big Bible conferences. You all remember. 14, 15 preachers. You know, as a boy, I thought I was going to die. Honestly, I thought I was going to die in the service. But I didn't. And those were formative years where churches, men, young men from churches were being started, and Dad wanted all these fellas to come and preach, and people get to know them, and people from all over. This is where all the churches started and got together, and all that we know now were a result of that. But it got so big, and there was so much food to prepare, and so much service, and so much to perform, and all that, that Dad found, and it got to be a circus. And what it was the women were preparing food, and some of them were back there preparing food while the preaching was going on. And finally Dad said, stop. That's it. I'm not going to do it anymore. Why? Because this house is what? A house of prayer. A house of worship. Not a place to socialize. We're here to do one thing. Worship the Lord. And nothing can take the place of that. We've tried to cut the food and all that preparation all down in our little meetings so that no women will be cumbered about all of that. Okay? The guests can go someplace. We're not here to eat bread, food. We're here to feast on this bread. All right, here's what happened to Martha being cumbered about. Verse 40. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to the Lord and said, Lord, dost thou not care? Don't you care about me? Would you look? Look at all I'm doing. And she, Lord, don't you care? Have you ever gotten a state like that? Lord, don't you care? Self-pity. Alone. Lord, don't you care? And self-righteousness is what that is. And she said, my sister, verse 40, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister, look at her, she's left me alone. To do this work. Look at her. You know, Satan's called the accuser of the brethren. He accuses them in Revelation, says day and night, all the time accusing the brethren. If you accuse the brethren, if you find fault with the brethren, look at her. Look what she does. Look at her. You're doing his work. He's using you. One time, when the Lord rose from the grave and was leaving, and he's talking to his disciples, and he's talking about Peter. He told Peter, you're going to be crucified. And Peter said, you know what he probably thought? Oh, man, I'm going to go through that. He said, what about John? What are you going to do with John? He said, what's that to you? That's none of your business. He said, you follow me. You do what I tell you to do. Don't worry about them. I'll take care of them. I give the orders, not you. Look at her. No, look at yourself. If only Martha looked at herself. Look at you, Martha. You're careful and cumbered. Martha, look at this. She said, Lord, bid her. Lord, tell her to get up and help me. Now she's giving the Lord orders. Now she's thinking, this is what the Lord ought to do. Doesn't he care about me? Look at them. They're not like me. This is what he ought to do. The Lord should have strongly rebuked Martha. He's so tender and so kind and knows our flesh, knows our frame, that when he rebuked her, I'm sure it was very gently. He didn't humiliate her. I believe he did this. I believe he probably went in the kitchen and privately said something to Martha. Don't you? He doesn't humiliate us in front of one another. He's so kind. He's not like us. All right. Martha, if you're not under the word of the Lord, if for whatever reason, Martha was careful. Mary doesn't have care in the world. Look what's going on. Look what's going on. Mary's sitting there. What's going on? Listen. Listen to his word. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, but look out here. No, I don't care about that. Martha was troubled. Mary was peaceful. Complete peace. Not care in the world. Martha was working. Mary's resting. Martha's upset. She's upset. Mary's about as settled as you can get. She's just relaxed, settled, grounded. Martha's running around here and there. Mary's sitting in her right mind. Martha's out of her mind. Mary's in her right mind. Martha feels alone and unloved. Mary has never felt more loved. She's right at his feet. She's not alone. Remember that story of Hubert Davis, a preacher in Farmville, Virginia. My dad and I went. I used to preach with him for years in a conference in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Older man, and he got Parkinson's disease, and and got way down to where he was just bent over double like that. He had a son who was an invalid, 45-year-old son that lived in their home with him, and he realized that his wife could not take care of both of them and committed himself to a nursing home. Well, we went in to see him. My dad and I went to see him. He loved my dad. He loved me. And we went to see him. And he was all hunched down in a wheelchair by himself in one of those nursing home rooms. And you know what those nursing home rooms are like. I don't care where it is. It's still depressing him. And he had his back to us. And he was all hunched over. I said, "Brother Hubert, are you alone?" And he said, "No, brother, the Lord's with me." And we walked around in front of him, and he could barely look up. You know, oh, big grin came on his face. He saw my dad, and he was just happy as a hog in mud. You know what a hog in mud is? Martha felt all alone. Martha felt unloved. Mary had never felt more love. She was not alone. She didn't need anybody or anything in this world. She had all she needed sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, look at what our Lord said in closing. And I believed he got up and went into the kitchen, maybe put his arm around her. You reckon? And just to her, privately, "Martha, Martha." Oh, the Lord can say so much, like a father to a child. I used to, Dan, when my dad would call me Paul Edward, I was in trouble. Whenever he used two names, Paul Edward, oh, caught. I've been caught. Paul, Paul. It's a disappointment. Just enough in that to make me ashamed myself. You know what I'm saying? Son. Son. Martha. Martha. "Thou art," he said unto her, "careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful." Now, when I was newly married, fairly newly married, and you know my wife, she's a good servant, very good servant. She served everybody in this church for many years. Served well. There's nothing she likes. She's both Martha and Mary. She really is. There's nothing she like better, wants better than to sit right here. I told her I was dealing with Martha and Mary. She said, "Oh, I wish I could be there." But she's teaching your children. But I made the mistake as a young married man. One time she was real busy. I said, "Mindy, Mindy, you're careful. Don't do that, man. Don't do it. You're not the Lord. It won't work." You understand? It won't work. We're not the Lord. And the reason we do something like that is self-righteousness. "Little woman, you need to stop doing that." Like the man who came home one day and said, "Behold, woman, I've overcome my pride." Maybe you didn't get that. But don't do it. Woman, submit. I remember doing that. This is what it says right here. It says, "Woman, submit." Our Lord doesn't treat His wife like that. He doesn't. He was tender. He was kind. He meant it in love and care. We're not Him. We can't rebuke like He can rebuke. So don't do that. I know that from experience, okay? Because We're all Marthas, aren't we? But he said, one thing is needful. One thing is needful. Our Lord said that. One thing is needful. You remember David, Psalm 27 is some of our favorite psalm in it. David said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." You remember Psalm 63, Wednesday? "Early will I seek that I may dwell in the house of the Lord." I just want to dwell there. "All the days of my life, behold the beauty of the Lord, inquire in His temple." And he said, when you said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Meaning, I'm going to drop everything and everyone and seek him. Seek a word from him. Seek a blessing from him. Seek to worship him. And our Lord said this, one thing is needful. Nothing else is truly needful. And Mary, look at this, Mary hath chosen that good part. She's chosen that good part. And it shall not be taken from away from her. She hath chosen that good part. Now Mary was chosen by the Lord. Redeemed by the Lord. Called by the Lord. Drawn by the Lord. Born again by the Lord. Mary was chosen by him. Chosen, called, and faithful. And his worship and all that. And once a person is chosen, once a person is born again, a new creature in Christ, there are choices that we can make. Right? There are choices. God's people are made willing in the day of his power. Okay? And once made willing, their will is changed. They have a new man. This is what we want to do. That's like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord by the grace of God because he called me and chose me. This is what we're going to do. And we make choices. And Mary chose to sit at his feet. That's where I'm going to be. Did she have responsibility? Did she have things that need to be done? Did she have chores? Did she not see Martha waiting? She lived in that house, I believe. Did she not see that things needed to be done? Yes, she knew that. Did she feel a little bit guilty? Maybe. But one thing's needful. She said, I'm not going to let anybody or anything distract me. Now, here's my final point. There are preparations necessary to worship the Lord. My dad wrote an article one time, before, during, and after the sermon. There's preparation. We cannot just rush into God's house and expect him to bless us. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Seek his faith. If you seek with all your heart, he said, you'll find that. There's preparation necessary. What do we do before we get here? What are we talking about on the way? There's some preparation. Lord, bless the preacher. Lord, bless me. Lord, if you don't bless me, bless my brethren. Lord, use the radio. Lord, use the mixer. Lord, use the bulletin. Lord, use it. Lord, help us. Bless us. Meet with us. Lord, would you meet with us? Would you meet with me? Drop everything. Everything. Our houses, our whatever it may be that we care for. Drop it. Oh, but they can't. Yes, they can wait. And must wait. And we must wait on the Lord. If we're not waiting on the Lord, we might not hear from him. What will happen? We'll become like Martha. We'll become like Martha. So, all right, look at it. It said, she's chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her. She's getting what she wanted. She's getting what she chose. By his grace. She's getting what she desired. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Is that what you want? Yes, I want you, Lord. You get me. How long? Forever. You know where Mary is right now? You know where Mary is right now? Who is this Mary? She's the one that washed his feet with the tears of her eyes and bathed and dried it with the hair of her head. Chief of sinners. And the Lord said, her sins are gone. And boy, she loved to hear that again. She wanted to hear it again. And you know where she is right now? Sitting at his feet. And she, Lord, nothing and no one is going to separate her from the love of God that's in Christ. That's where she is right now. Will you say we join her? Okay. Thank you.
make it last Sunday morning's message?
Wait a minute, this is still on.